And now our gospel reading. From the book of St. Mark, beginning in the second chapter. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And Jesus said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God when Abiathar was high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat. And he gave some to his companions." Then Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made for humankind and not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Again he entered the synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand. They watched Jesus to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Come forward." And Jesus said to them, "Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill?" But they were silent. Jesus looked around at them with anger. He was grieved at their hardness of heart and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and conspired with the Herodians against Jesus, how to destroy him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. I was told last night that this sermon sucks. That they didn't get it. And since there were only 15 people here, what does it matter? 15 people didn't get it. So I'm going to try a little something different here in hopes that you all get it. There's a jogger who goes out every morning at 5:30. Whether the weather is nice or the weather is bad, whether it's dark or light, blustery or not, whether there's a blizzard blowing or not, he or she is absolutely committed to his exercise regime. There's a carpenter whose workshop looks like a display ad, who is absolutely committed to the location of his tools. There's a six-year-old who makes his parents pick off every single one of those little tiny dehydrated onion squares on his Happy Meal, because he's committed to no onions on his burger. There's an office manager whose weekly staff meetings always take exactly the same form, no matter what the crisis is in the office, or who insists that everything take place according to plan, according to the Robert's Rules of Order. This office manager is committed to the procedures. There are parents who insist that their children be instructed in the three R's and nothing more. They're committed to basic education. There are countless others who we call fundamentalists. That is, they believe, their belief is so basic as to be hard to alter or resolve or to overcome. There are Monday night football fundamentalists. My son has a bedroom decorated in the colors of the Detroit Lions. He has memorabilia and pictures all over the wall. He has blankets with the Detroit Lions on it. He's a Lion fundamentalist. His belief in their success is so basic that it's hard to alter his view. And even with in the realm of religious fundamentalism, there are many varieties. If you think this church is flexible and receptive to new ideas, and I've tried this, change the Sunday morning order of worship. It will suddenly become apparent that even with the most liberal congregations, we can develop a liturgical fundamentalism. It must be that way, because it's always been that way. Of course, if you really want to fan the flames of fundamentalism, start messing around with the church music. We all choose to erect certain foundational principles, pillars, if you will, that we use to support the weight of our attitudes and our actions that occur in our lives. Being a fundamentalist about some things can strengthen our centeredness, but more importantly, it builds up our sense of security. We feel comfortable knowing what's going to happen. Fundamentalism only becomes a problem when these rocks of certainty on which we build our lives spread into the depths of our soul and, as we heard in the reading, harden our hearts. Mark's gospel that was read pinpoints this problem in today's text. Even as Jesus is moved to compassion by the sight of the man with the withered hand, he's also moved to anger by the hardness of the heart of the Pharisees and those that are watching him. Jesus and the bystanders in the synagogue that day were butting heads into each other's fundamentalism. The Pharisees wanted to abide by the strict letter of the law concerning the Sabbath observation. You cannot do work on the Sabbath. Plucking heads of grain was considered work. They went even so far as to say there was a certain distance you could walk from your house before the walk became work. They believed, the Pharisees, that safeguarding the Sabbath was fundamental to their beliefs. And it was more important than individual situations that they found themselves confronting. It didn't matter if you were hungry. You cannot pluck the head of a grain and eat it. That's work on a Sunday. But in all cases, Jesus was also a fundamentalist. In everything that he did, in everything that he said, Jesus acted out of a fundamental belief in love. It was his core. It was unshakable. It was the foundation on which he built his life and he trained his disciples. It was love that urged Jesus to heal the man's withered hand on the Sabbath. doing work on the Sabbath was a no-no. But Jesus believed in the love of the man. It was love that kept Jesus from Satan's temptations in the wilderness. It was love that spurred Jesus to sweep the children up into his arms. It was love that drove Jesus to choose humiliation over political power. And it was love that revealed Jesus' glorification through self-sacrifice. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that we may experience eternal life. There's a professor, Douglas Hall, of Canada's McGill University. And he says that the law requires us to tolerate one another. But the law of Christ makes tolerance, simple tolerance, not enough. It's not good enough to tolerate your neighbor. It may be good enough legally and politically, but it's not good enough for Jesus, who didn't say tolerate your neighbor. What did he say? Love your neighbor. The great thing about being a love fundamentalist, about having love as your core belief, the pillar on which you build your life, it gives you greater freedom. Instead of narrowing your vision, limiting your options, or scaling down your scope, as the Pharisees tried to do, love opens up worlds of new possibilities. Love always offers one more chance. Love always goes one more mile. Always trusts one more time. Always cries one more tear. Always rejoices over one more soul. God is rejoicing over the soul of Benjamin, a new child of Christ. But love isn't easy. It depends on a rigorous, hard-fought commitment. Perpetual practice and an obedience in order to truly define the depth and direction of your love. If something is not woven within the warp and the woof, which are the horizontal, the vertical and horizontal weaves in a carpet, if it's not woven within that very fabric of our lives, it is not fundamental to our being. You would not have a carpet if you did not have the warp and the woof. Let me give you an example. There was a lady who was a bride-to-be. She was picking out her beautiful white wedding dress, and she was getting the invitations out to her friends and family, making plans for a reception and for a honeymoon. A few months before her wedding, however, she learned that her fiancé was ill. In fact, he was very ill. He would die unless he had a kidney transplant. Donors were sought, but none was suitable. Finally, Victoria is her name. Finally, she said, "What about me? Could I give him one of my kidneys?" Tests were made, and remarkably, she was a perfect donor. So the wedding was postponed, and a surgery was scheduled instead. She was asked by the press, why would she go through all of this, the donation of a kidney? And her answer, I think, was perfect. This is what love is all about. This is what relationships are all about. An unlimited commitment, an unlimited sacrifice for someone else. She and her husband were love fundamentalists. Jesus chose to weave the thread of love throughout every aspect of his existence. And he preached love in every part of his existence. The very fiber of his soul was knit together by love. Will you choose the same? Amen.